It's a long purport. In fact, it's about one-fifth or one-sixth of the whole purport. We'll probably be doing this purport for at least 4 or 5 days. So I've just taken one of the pages. The meter here is a little different than what we normally do. I had to struggle through it, so don't feel too bad if you do. Yeah. Okay, Archana, did you hear that? Contrary instruction, no problem. I was ready to do the verse, but I will go along with the latest news. Okay, let me just introduce. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we go to the translation and then the purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So, translation. Yes. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of whom? Yes, Brahmaji. The original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen in water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. Excuse me. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Purport. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead. Excuse me. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudev and Devaki. So I'll stop for one moment. So often I hear devotees pronouncing these two names as the same. Vasudeva, Vasudeva. Okay, who is Vasudeva? Yes, and who is Vasudeva? His father, yes. So there's a slight difference in the pronunciation. Vasudeva like V-U-S and Vasudeva like V-A-H-S. So we should beware of or attend to those little distinctions. Otherwise, if I'm talking to someone or you're talking to someone and you say Vasudev, but you mean Vasudev, or you say Vasudev and you mean Vasudev, we're talking completely about different things. But if we have an understanding that there is a difference, then I'll know what you say or what you mean, and you'll know what I mean. So, this fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Sri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise named Brahma Samhita. Very important text for us. In an Upanishad, in the Samaveda, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive, all-attractive. Okay, how many of us know the meaning of the word nomenclature? Raise your hand if you know. I'm going to call you if you do. You know? All right, what is the word? Yes, exactly. You hear that? It means a name. It's a fancy word for the word name, but sometimes writers, because they don't like to repeat the same word over and over again because it can get boring and the reader can go to sleep. So to protect against that, we use different names to indicate. There are 5-6 different words for the word name, and sometimes writers, such as here, Srila Prabhupada, likes to give an alternate. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed by Arjuna, and also by great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. So, that's the authority for that. Sometimes people ask, what's the authority that you use to call Krishna the original name? So it's right here. Padma Purana. It is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. And all the different forms of the Lord, being identical with Vasudeva, are indicated in this text. The name Vasudeva particularly, excuse me while I go on a searching expedition. Okay. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahansas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. So I'll stop briefly. Who would like to define what a Paramahansa is? Because I'm sure there's a lot of new people here who hearing that word maybe even for the first or second time. Who knows what a Paramahansa is? And the old-timers can hold up. Anyone know what a Paramahansa is? Come on, you all know this. No? You want to tell? Go on, please. Yes. Yes, so swan, but why is swan, what is the distinctive quality of a swan that we would call a very advanced devotee, a Paramahansa? We wouldn't be calling, we're not referring to, hey, swan, we're not talking like that, but the swan has a particular characteristic which compares him to a great sage. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, exactly. Yes. So a swan, you can give him or her water or milk, and she will take the milk substance and leave the water. So that is called discrimination, to discriminate or discern between one thing and another thing. And that's what a great sage does. He can discriminate between that which is useful, useless, good, bad, evil, virtuous, helpful, not helpful, like that. This is called discrimination. And we all are practicing that. And to the degree of our lights or our advancement, Krishna is giving us more and more of that wonderful quality, discrimination. So that sometimes you can see a person by the way he speaks, by the way he acts, the way he scratches himself, or the way he just slouches, kind of like this. You know a lot about a person's character just by looking at him or her. Okay? Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes. Everything that exists emanates from the Lord. How this is so is explained in later chapters of this work. This work is described by Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya as the spotless Purana. That means no errors, no failings, nothing wrong, nothing bad, spotless. And what is the Sanskrit word that is used? Come on, all you who memorized 10,000 verses, let's have. What's the word? Yes, the Amala Purana. I'm not looking for any credit, by the way. So, it has nothing to do with that. How this is so is explained in later chapters of this work. So, Sri Chaitanya as the spotless Purana, because it contains the transcendental narration of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. The history of the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very glorious. It was compiled by Sri Vyasadeva after he had attained maturity in transcendental knowledge. He wrote this under the instructions of Sri Naradaji, his spiritual master. Vyasadeva compiled all Vedic literatures containing the four divisions of of the Vedas. So there are four Vedas. Who would like to name the four Vedas? Raise your hand if you know the four Vedas. Well, you got them all. Let's anybody else but our sage here who knows these four Vedas? No? Okay, I'll give you a hint. First one, Samaveda. Oh, no. Raise your hand, I'll call you, and you can shout it out loud and strong. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Perfect. The Puranas, the Mahabharata, and so on. Mahabharata is also considered the what Veda? The fifth Veda. And that's because it has so much advanced spiritual knowledge in it. But nevertheless, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. His dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master, Narada. And thus Narada advised him to write on the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna. These transcendental activities are described specifically in the 10th canto of this work. But in order to reach to the very substance, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. In effect, let me just explain just briefly here. Yes, these transcendental activities are described specifically in the 10th canto. So that's what we have been listening to and learning about over the past several months, the 10th canto, where we see Krishna playing with his cowherd boyfriends, with his girlfriends, with his mother, his father, his neighbors. We see Krishna in action. His cuteness, his sweetness, his lovableness, his huggableness, all these qualities we have gotten a chance to see, to imbibe, to absorb, and to admire. And as a result of that, we get to develop affection for Krishna just by all his different antics. And just as the residents of Vrindavan, they too had that opportunity to watch him. And you know, sometimes Krishna would commit some naughty acts, and the neighbors would scold him on the one hand, but on the other hand, they were enjoying it because they had the opportunity to look at Krishna, to see him, to behold him, and to sometimes even run after him because he was naughty, and they were going to catch him and bring him to his mother. So they loved it, and simultaneously, from a social point of view, chastised him. But everyone loved him, and everyone wanted Krishna as his or her son. So this is also important, where Srila Prabhupada mentions, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. So, starting from the first canto, we move through up to the 10th canto, and there are different categories of knowledge which are received. And the process of receiving these different categories is a very purifying effect. And the idea is that as we go through the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth, the sixth, we become purified by reading about them, by learning about them, by understanding them, and by developing an attraction for them. And the more we become attracted for them, the more we will become attracted to Krishna himself, so that when we reach the 10th canto, it will be just pure nectar. Because it's like when you're watching a suspense thriller, you know, movie, and you're watching and you're wondering, are they going to get the killer? Are they going to get, is it this scene or is it the next scene? You're in expectation. You have this bated breath and you're waiting. And finally, the payoff, he is caught. So simply, we get the opportunity to finally see that great personality that has been described so artfully and so lavishly throughout all the previous nine cantos. So it's not good to rush or jump into. Many people, especially in India, we find that people like to jump into the 10th canto, and not just the 10th canto, but Krishna and the gopis and the romantic activities there, because it fits in with their depraved mentality. If you have a depraved mentality, if all you're thinking about is romantic activities, then you think that Krishna's activities are like yours. And that's completely wrong, because his activities are on the transcendental platform. Transcendental platform means that all his devotees have only one thing in mind. They want to serve him. That's the way they express their love. They want to serve him. They want to glorify him. They want to sing to him. They want to play music to him. They want to dance with him. They want to do everything that will excite his pleasure. Because that's what love is all about. Offering, giving, extending pleasure to the Supreme Lord. And also, if the Supreme Lord is in any way inconvenienced or discomforted, removing or relieving that discomfort. For example, when Krishna would be tired from his playing, he would lie down, and then a cowherd boy would come and put his head on his lap. And then he would massage his head, and another cowherd boy would come and massage his feet. This is all devotional service. And it took these cowherd boys millions of lives of transcendental pious activities to get to the point where they could have such a close, such an intimate, such a near experience with Krishna. It's not something cheap. It's not just some boys getting together and just, you know, laughing it up, kicking it up, and playing it up. It's more than that. It's so deep. And even the cowherd boys, they don't even think about that. All they know is they want to be with their Krishna. They want to play with him. They want to run with him. They play blind man's bluff, or they play. They run after bird shadows. They sit on the branches of the trees and pull the tails of the monkeys until the monkeys squawk, and then the boys start laughing. They chase after the monkeys get free. Or they dive into the ponds where the frogs are, and the frogs hop. They're having all this fun. Or they play tag, you know, who's it? You know, we all played these little games when we were kids. Take a giant step and may I, no you may not, and all that kind of stuff. So these kids are doing the same thing, but it's not the same. Because Krishna is God, Krishna is love, Krishna is peace, Krishna is goodness, Krishna is sweetness, Krishna is all that and so much more. So when the cowherd boys, they wrestle with Krishna, yeah, they roll around on the ground with him, they're getting that extremely wonderful experience of a close, tight, near, contiguous association with, Krishna. And this is a reward. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So as a result of our devotional service, our devotional love, our devotional surrender, our devotional glorification of Krishna, as a result of doing anything and everything, willing and glad and eager to sacrifice our bodies, our minds, our intelligence for the pleasure of Krishna, when we begin to think of Krishna, 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 hey, all the time, which is what we all have to aspire to. It's not easy. Probably one of the most difficult things, because we want to think of ourselves. That's paramount. Number one. But Krishna has to become our number one. So that we're always thinking of how we can in some way please Krishna. We can chant his name. That's glorifying him. Instead of glorifying some nonsense politico or basketball player or baseball player, we glorify Krishna because Krishna is supreme. Oma gina timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmuditam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born... Excuse me. Did I finish the purport or did I leave out a paragraph? Anybody know? Huh? Okay, I think it's here. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry about that, but I just got carried away. It is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of the creation. At night he sees the stars in the sky, and he naturally speculates about their inhabitants. Such inquiries are natural for man because man has a developed consciousness which is higher than that of the animals. The author of the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a direct answer to such inquiries. He says that the Lord, Sri Krishna, is the origin of all creations. He is not only the creator of the universe, but the destroyer as well. The manifested cosmic nature is created at a certain period by the will of the Lord. It is maintained for some time, and then it is annihilated by his will. Therefore, the supreme will is behind all cosmic activities. Of course, there are atheists of various categories who do not believe in a creator. But that is due to a poor fund of what? Knowledge, yes. The modern scientist, for example, has created space satellites. And by some arrangement or other, these satellites are thrown into outer space to fly for some time at the control of the scientist who is far away. Similarly, all the universes with innumerable stars and planets are controlled by the intelligence of the personality of Godhead. So if you please make a note that the last words I spoke for this purport is the words personality of Godhead. Okay? That should be pretty easy. So continuing on where I left off a few moments ago. Yes, so I was mentioning before that anytime we get the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord, then we should jump to that opportunity. For example, just walking in the street and just singing Krishna, that's devotional service. Of course, if you just sing, but if we're really not thinking of Krishna, it's not the best and the highest form of service. But if we're thinking about Krishna, you know, Krishna, 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 hey, or any of the others, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Whatever we're singing, the most important part is for us to have that tremendous appreciation that Krishna is the greatest, Krishna is the highest, Krishna is the best, Krishna is so wonderful that who besides him should be chanted? Who? His great servant, Srila Prabhupada. So, whether we're singing Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya, whether we sing that, or we sing Krishna, 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 in effect, we are in the transcendental platform. And that transcendental platform helps us to more and more cultivate the habit of thinking of Krishna, thinking of Prabhupada, thinking of our spiritual master. And by doing that, we are associating with that which is pure, perfect, glorious and great. The more we think of Krishna by chanting His name, what we're doing is associating with God. We may think that, well, I'm just making a sound. But that sound is not an ordinary sound. It's a transcendental sound. It's a sound which carries us to the spiritual world from which it has been exported or imported by us or exported by them. So that sound is very, very potent. It's very powerful. And when we associate with it in a mood of conscious attention, not merely indifferent attention, uncaring attention, robotic attention, and we all do, including myself, associate that way. That's not the best way to get the highest benefit from the Lord. For example, if we're simply Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. No interest, no thought, no feeling, no intensity. Or it sounds like a person at a tobacco auction. If you ever heard one of those, sold American. Yeah. So it's what's the meaning? Krishna's looking. He said, "What was it? Is he calling me? Is that me he's talking about? Are you going to get sounds like you're calling a little cat. You know, like a little." So these are not the way. It shows the person's mind could be elsewhere while the mantra is coming out of the mouth. Let me say this, that any mantra recited gives some benefit. But as Srila Prabhupada said in his lecture last Sunday, he said, but the benefits that are to be derived, they will come later. But there is benefit, no doubt about it. But that's not the kind of benefit we want. And not only that, but we all have the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, this lifetime. Why do we have to take another birth and go through all the miseries of life, those which come from our own body and mind, those which come from other living entities, or those which come from catastrophes and calamities? Why should we go through those over and over, and all these miseries, all these uncertainties, all these doubts, all of these different tragedies, which bring more and more tears and sorrow and make life miserable? Why go through all that when, as Prabhupada so often beautifully said, that we can do it in one life? But we need to do these chanting with a conscious, loving attention. And that's the ticket. Conscious, loving attention. And not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. God is great. God is glorious. God is wonderful. God is amazing. God is awesome. If we have that feeling, we have that mood, then when we chant it, how other can we chant it with Hare Krishna? Oh, you're so wonderful. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow, what an opportunity. It's such a great chance to gain the greatest benefit in existence, which is to go back home, back to Godhead, and be free of all the miseries and the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that occur to all of us in one way or another. Whether we're getting the flu, or whether falling down and getting an injury, we're in a car and hit behind, or hit broadside, or whether we get some particular disease or disorder, whatever it may be, all this can be ultimately and finally finished. And that's what Prabhupada came for, to help us finish up this foolish, ridiculous incarnation of bodily identification and all the miseries that consciousness is heir to as a result of thinking, I am the body. So how do we get out of this I am the body consciousness? What is the secret? Well, I've just mentioned it. The most paramount, the most important one of all the nine forms, they were mentioned yesterday's class, the nine forms of devotional service, chanting the holy name, Lord Chaitanya says, is the best. And there are no hard and fast rules. You can chant it anywhere. Yes, there are some rules, and if we abide by them, you get the most and maximum benefit. But even if you do it in a way which is not in the ideal way, well, still you're going to get benefit. That's how compassionate, That's how merciful, that's how loving Krishna has been to allow us to even chant his name in an indifferent, uncaring, robotic, thoughtless way and still get benefit. Who could be such a glorious, wonderful, lovable Lord? How can we turn from him to anything else? What else can take up our time than one who is so merciful and so kind and so wonderful? Lord Chaitanya, he said, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy name. But I am so what? I am so unfortunate because I have no attraction. That's all of us. So none of us should feel so bad that we're unattracted. And if we are conscious of this and we own up to it and we beg in our prayers, my Lord, I'm not attracted to you. I'm attracted to me, 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 me. Please yank me out of this horrible consciousness. Take me to the consciousness of your lotus feet. Take me to the consciousness of your beautiful pastimes. Take me to the consciousness of your of your wonderful activities. So if you take me to this consciousness and then leave me in that consciousness, don't let me get away from that consciousness, I will be so pleased, benefited and helped. And I will finally know what Krishna consciousness is. I'm begging you. I'm crying out to you. I need you. I can't do it by myself. By my own endeavors, I keep failing and failing and failing. But by your mercy, by your love, by your caring, by your compassion, by your sympathy, by your empathy, by feeling how miserable I am because I can't keep my mind on you, please, please, please make me better. And if you make me better, then make me still better. And if you make me still better, make me even more better. If there is such a grammatical... I don't think there is. You won't find it in my books anyway. So please make me better and better. And in that way, I'll draw closer and closer. And when I draw closer and closer, I'll have your beautiful, loving, kind, sweet vibration in my voice, in my eyes, in my hands, in my posture, and whoever I come in contact with will sense it as we sensed it in Srila Prabhupada. He spoke. How many of us have seen the movie Hare Krishna? Okay, most of us. Well, you can see some of the smiles of Srila Prabhupada. They just melt your heart. So we need to be aspiring for this, not just, he's got it, I'll never have it. Well, maybe we won't, but at least we have to aspire. And if we aspire for it and perspire for it, well, the result will be certainly better than not trying. Okay? So thank you all very much for your attentive listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the devotees here. Thank you again and again for listening. And I pray for all of you that we will all achieve everything that I talked about but still don't have. Hare Krishna.